Welcome to ASME TechCast, bringing you the innovators, the innovations, and the issues that push the envelope of engineering. This is Jeffrey Winters, Editor-in-Chief at Mechanical Engineering Magazine, and today we are talking about artificial intelligence and how that relates to manufacturing. My guest is Humberto Mareda, who is a principal solutions engineer at Gigster, a software development services company. At Gigster, Humberto focuses on such issues as AI, and data analytics, intelligent manufacturing, and the Internet of Things. And today he's bringing us an interesting take on the way that AI will intersect with, and in some ways is intersecting right now, with the manufacturing sector. Humberto, welcome to the big show.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
Oh, trust me, it is my pleasure to have you here today. Now, for all those out in podcast land, I know that you've heard a lot about AI, and I don't know, you know how it makes photorealistic illustrations or is faking voices and just sort of nonsense like that. But artificial intelligence has so much promise in analyzing reams of data and turning them into actionable directions or actionable something. And that's the kind of analysis that manufacturing engineers do on a daily basis. You know, when they're thinking about how to develop new products and how to adapt existing products for new uses. So if AI can do that, is it going to be taking over that role from engineers, or will they be working hand in hand to provide better products for consumers? Well, Humberto is here to talk about that and more. So I think we're ready to dig in. So let's start off with, for decades, manufacturers have been talking about mass customization of products, especially in conjunction with additive manufacturing. That's usually where I hear about it. In this context, mass customization means being able to configure a product to an individual consumer's needs without losing the economies of scale that mass production enables. But we haven't gotten there for most products. Humberto, what's the holdup?
That's a great question. I think there's been several trends that have gotten in the way over time. So on one hand, there's been supply chain fragmentation. Suppliers have gotten specialized. It's hard for suppliers to coordinate. So all these logistical issues get in the way of having true mass customization. And at the same time, there's a trade-off between cost, quality, and demand. But these are issues that over time, and especially with the emergence of these new technologies, are finally starting to arrive at a point where we're starting to get closer to a true level of mass customization.
Okay, so it's on its way. Oh, that's good. Now, I know that you've written that artificial intelligence is helping with providing more customization options for consumers. That's a little bit different than what we were talking about from the production side. Can you explain how that works? And if I understand that correctly, it's not so much designing as much as it's using AI to crunch the numbers of a lot of data to define trends and see what customers as a whole want rather than individuals.
It's a good question, and I think it's a little bit of both. Okay. So as you mentioned, one of the big advantages of AI and data analytics tooling is to be able to crunch all this data and to really be able to anticipate trends, both at a macro level, but also at a segment level. And by looking at some of these trends and forecasting and enabling planners to work with information at a more granular segment level, that makes more options be available at the ready from a production standpoint. So for a consumer that, let's say, is configuring a set of sneakers in a way that for them is very, very personalized, the options that become available to them are more tailored to what they would have liked in their ideal scenario. So that becomes inherently more customizable and more personalized, even though it's still within bounds. And then some of the customization can be done more at the last mile, so to speak. But a key part of it is making a lot of these options available in a way that almost predicts what users and consumers would have wanted had they been designing it entirely on their own.
Right. I mean, I think in one of the things that I read that you had written, you talked about these fast fashion companies that are able to
right.
sort of work, use data to figure out how to customize their stuff. Could you unpack that a little bit for us?
Yeah, definitely. So, traditional manufacturing processes, obviously, there's a lead time from let's say design to production to obviously all the supply chain to the end consumer. And one of the things that fast fashion companies have been able to do is to really translate. They have an eye on fashion. Obviously, what's going on in the fashion shows? They see the trends on the streets in some of the hottest markets, and they're able to take that information. And some of it can be very visual information. Let's say take photographs of what are people wearing on high streets in fashion capitals, and then that can be translated back to a very fast turnaround design cycles, and then be quickly translated to a production line, and then again be shipped again to consumers. So that whole cycle, that turnaround becomes very fast and very flexible.
So it's in some ways it's doing a lot of what's been going on for years, but just doing it faster and with bringing in more data to make those decisions.
That's right. And with more options than ever for consumers, right. Because ultimately consumers are obviously these things are bought primarily now online, and online includes the targeting of these different variations of fast fashion options to consumers. And so there's AI involved in that as well.
Okay. Now, it's not just the design stage. You've written that AI is starting to have an impact on production through systems like machine vision and production robotics and robots that work directly with factory workers. I guess those are called cobots. Can you explain what's going on there?
Certainly. And there's a lot of AI behind the scenes. So there's AI that's within systems that's embedded and that's looking at things like quality control and sampling, and all computer vision is using some of these techniques in the background, which might be directly within production machines. But also, as far as, for example, cobots, those can be basically working alongside human workers in things, I mean, as tactical as welding, as tactical as putting things together, but also assisting, let's say, in a large factory floor, bringing work in progress material to workers just as they need it, handling basically things like cleaning and things of that sort. So they become an assistant of sorts to human workers, really empowering them to be far more productive.
Right. And with machine vision, I mean, my understanding is that a lot of that's used for pick and place, where the robot on looking at parts going down a conveyor belt can actually see and identify a part that can be in all sorts of different configurations, and then know to select that and put it in a certain bin.
That's right, and that's been used also in manufacturing, of course, and agriculture is using that more and more, and so that's a very key use case.
Okay. So now, because we've been alive, we're all familiar with the supply chain bottlenecks from a couple of years ago, but getting products from factories to consumers is an ongoing issue. I mean, it's always been an ongoing issue. You've written that artificial intelligence has a place in making supply chains more efficient. Well, how are they making a difference there?
Right. So in a way, it's getting ahead of the complexity as supply chains become more complex. In a way, it's chasing that complexity on things like forecasting obviously on the demand side, but also on the supply side and on different parts of the production process, what kind of pieces or what kind of components are needed at each step, making sure that they're available there just in time, and even for things on the supply chain like routing and maintenance and warehouse automation, as we were talking about earlier. So all of this comes together, as I mentioned, to really, as supply chains get more and more complex, they become something that if a human tried to optimize it just using standard tools, it would be extremely complex, right? So that's where these additional technologies become almost indispensable.
Well, and it also sounds as if, from what you were talking about earlier with this sort of the customization that's going on, where consumers are selecting, you know, on a website different sort of variations, that's also adding to the complexity of the supply chain. It's not just you've got, you know, a palette of identical objects that are going to you know, Chicago. You've got you know, sort of individual items that are being manufactured or assembled and then sent to individual consumers without actually even dealing with warehouses or sort of that sort of level of the supply chain.
That's right. And it becomes an optimization, a large scale optimization problem. Is like, where should this actually be produced? This part should be produced. Where should it be customized? Where should it be assembled? And a lot of those things that traditionally were done by human planners in let's say annual planning sessions now can be done more tactically by some of these technologies.
Okay. Now, I mean, as I said at the top, there's a lot of concern about artificial intelligence taking people's jobs, but I have to say this all sounds, well, you know, less than threatening. So, you know, the examples you've given today, it sounds like AI is going to be helping people do what they're already doing just better. Am I missing something, or is it really sort of a good news story?
It is definitely a good news story, especially in the long run. And AI obviously is a tool, right? But the question sometimes is what happens during an adjustment period? What happens when workers can be 3x more productive or 10x more productive? What does that mean for jobs, right? Obviously, everybody would find the spot at which their abilities can best be used. But these transitions historically there's evidence that they can be complicated, right? So this process of job transformation and reallocation of talent can be tricky at times. And that is what some people are concerned about.
I mean, on balance though, it sounds as if the manufacturing sector will be more productive, and you know, presumably that'll help everybody.
Definitely. And in the long run, what we've seen from similar transitions at different points of, you know, industrial evolution and change is that new jobs get created that perhaps today we can't even envision, but they will arrive.
Okay. Now, with the way that AI is developing, we should be seeing a fairly mature technology in what, like 5 to 10 years. So in 10 years time, what will be the biggest impact on manufacturing? And what will someone like me, who's just like a simple consumer, not a producer in any way, see as the biggest difference?
That's a very interesting question, in fact, because this has been these few years have been so big in terms of a fast change, that if we look 10 years hence, there could be some interesting developments as far as there's things we can foresee as far as greater degree of adaptability, efficiency. But one of the things that's actually fairly big in AI that's emerging is this notion of AI as being complemented by agents that help different entities within, let's say, consumption and production processes, almost predict their needs. And so, as let's say, as a consumer, so today you have a, you know, you go and you choose, and perhaps in 10 years you'll have an AI helper of sorts, well, helping you choose something that it will know that you will like, and that will be part of your consumer purchasing process. And similarly, on the manufacturing side, it could be that different components within the manufacturing process will maybe self-source and self-select even you know, where should I produce this? It can manage a lot of that by itself. I could choose a supplier by myself almost from a production standpoint, looking a bit forward.
Yeah. Well, I do not envy the artificial intelligence, you know, agent that has to help me out by stop, because it's, I'm pretty cantankerous, but that's neither here nor there. Humberto Moreira, thank you for joining us today. This has been a fascinating talk. We could go on and on, but we gotta go. So, again, Humberto Moreira from Gigster, thank you. For those of you on podcast land, if you'd like conversations like this, you can subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple, or whatever podcast platform you prefer. For the rest of us at ASME, this is Jeffrey Winters, wishing you a great rest of your day. Thanks.